We're serving the Lord. And that we need to do it to the best of our ability. We need to grow in it. 1 Peter 3 verse 15 says, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Listen to this. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. We need to be able to tell people, this is what I believe. This is why I believe it. This is why I have hope. And I want to pass this hope on to you. And I need to know how to do it. I need to train in doing it. In Acts 14, verse 1, says that at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There, listen to this, they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. They spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. So God also works through effective speaking. Now, Paul, as we know, often talks about in the gospel himself that he was actually not an eloquent preacher. But yet they worked at it to be effective. In the same way, we need to grow in our ability to make disciples. We cannot have one or two or three or five or 10 people saying, I'll make disciples. And the rest of us stand on the side and watch. No, we all need to learn and grow in our ability to do so better and better. The goal. In other words, the Bible study series, First Principles, we are now just referring to it in this series as the basics, the ABCs of Christianity. What is the goal of the Bible studies? The goal of the Bible studies is to get people to the foot of the cross. Acts 2:36, we all know this text, or most of us do. Therefore, Peter is preaching, he says, therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What is the goal of the Bible studies? It's to help us get to that point. Where for we for ourselves, when we became Christians, where we could get to a point where we too were cut to the heart. As we stood at the foot of the cross, as we realized that we have sinned against God, that we were separated, but through Jesus we could be brought close to Him. And where we too got to a point where we said, brothers or sisters, what shall we do? Because we're affected by the cross. So the goal is, one is we want to help people to get to the foot of the cross. Two is we want to love them. John 15, verse 12. My command is this, love each other as I've loved you. Greater love is no one than this. Then he lay down his life for his friends. Love. So what are we trying to do as we try to help friends and studying the scriptures and getting to know it better? One is we want to bring them to the foot of the cross. Two is we want to show them, it sounds sort of almost corny, but the love of Jesus. I mean, there's so many bumper stickers on those kind of things that it becomes a little bit odd. But the intention of Jesus always being that he would reflect himself through us as we love people. Now, I'm saying we need to know the goal. We need to have the end in mind before we start. Because if I'm reaching out to Warren here and... I believe Warren is a disciple. He says amen. Okay. But let's say he wasn't. I'm reaching out to Warren here. What do I have in mind? I want to bring Warren to the foot of the cross. I want to express Christ's love to him. I want him to experience God's love through me as I bring him to the foot of the cross. Does that make sense? That's where, but now I've not even done a Bible study. We've not looked at the word study. We've looked at nothing. That's just, I know where I'm going. I'm bringing him to the foot of the cross, and I'm going to express God's love to him. How am I going to do that? Well, here are five essentials. Let me see if I can get this. Before I talk about the five essentials, look at that person Bible study the cross. The Bible studies that we do, the first principles, it is a means to an end. It's not the end in itself. It is a means to an end. It's not the end in itself. We only have the Bible studies as a means to an end. What is the end? foot of the cross, people experiencing God's love. But there are, as we try and help people, there are five essentials that the Bible talks about that we need to go after as we help them. One is humility. In Matthew chapter 18, now we'll make some notes available on this, and I think this is also recorded. Is it? Yes. Okay. Matthew 18 verse 2, Jesus speaking says, it says, he called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You will not be able to experience forgiveness and enter the kingdom unless you're humble. So again, through the Bible studies, the end in mind is foot of the cross, expressing love. But in order for people to move, as for ourselves, to move from year to year, what is it going to take? Humility. James 1:21. Therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. Humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. Without humility, you can't move from darkness to light. Without humility, you can't grow. Without humility, we can't bring people to the foot of the cross. So somehow we need to help them and teach them about humility. Isaiah 66 verse 2, God speaks to the prophet Isaiah and he says, this is the one I esteem, this is the one I admire, this is the one I think is cool. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. He who is humble, contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. I cannot reach the foot of the cross and experience God's love unless I am humble. So, again, how do we move from here, from darkness? How do I move to the foot of the cross and be broken about my sins? It requires humility. Secondly, it requires faith. Again, well-known text, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For it is by grace that you've been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Okay? It is by grace you've been saved, through faith. What raises us from the waters of baptism to a new life? Our faith in the power of God. Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Faith. So again, end in mind. In our minds, we want to bring people to the foot of the cross. We want them to experience God's love. For them to be able to move from this side to that side, they're going to need faith. Faith that God can change their life. Faith that God can forgive their sins. Faith that God can help them become what they cannot be by themselves. Faith that their marriage can change, that their kids can become Christians. Faith that they can get rid of addictive habits. Faith in God. Faith that God is greater than themselves. So we need to teach them faith. Third essential is lordship. That Jesus would be Lord. Discipleship. One of the most simplistic but hardest scriptures in the Bible is Luke 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, if great and big Christians and church leaders and ministers wants to come after me. No, we know that's not true. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. Who of us just loves doing that? Just love denying yourself. I mean, just love it. It's just, you know, I love just not doing what I want. I love to do just what God, above all. Easy. He says, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For everyone to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? We cannot move from darkness to light while we are Lord of our own lives. No part of it. It all has to be surrendered. Jesus has to be Lord of all. I have to be his follower, his pupil, his student, a disciple of his. Where I say, wherever you call me is where I will go. Whatever you want me to do is what I will do. And whoever it is that you want me to become is what I will become. I'm not saying it will be easy or quick, but I'm willing. And I give up everything to follow you. Jesus is Lord. And therefore, before someone gets baptized, we ask them, what is your good confession? And they say that Jesus is Lord. And we rejoice with them because they say, I fully submit my life to Jesus. So third essential is we need lordship, and we need to teach them what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, to have him as Lord. The fourth essential is repentance. In Acts 2, verse 38, it says, Peter replied, speaking to a crowd, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. He's saying in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit has been poured out. The people, we read previously, were cut to the heart, said, what shall we do? Peter says, repent. Turn around. Metanoia, have a change of mind that will lead to a change of action, and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off. This is not a once-off event. It is for all of us right here, right now. And it says for our children, our children's children, for the future generations, which brings us to you and me in here, and our friends and our neighbors and our colleagues. Repent. I cannot move from darkness to the foot of the cross and experience God's love if I've not repented. Matthew 24:12, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. If I don't repent, my heart hardens. I cannot see the truth. I cannot understand God's grace. It cannot affect my life. I need to repent. The fifth ingredient is doctrine. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, and he says, watch your life. We just spoke about that. Lordship, repentance, faith. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. I need to have a clear understanding of the gospel doctrine if I want to move from darkness to light, from being separated to God to standing at the foot of the cross and experiencing God's love. I need to understand God's plan in getting me from point A to point B. I cannot follow my own plan. I cannot follow a good sounding plan. I need to follow God's plan. How serious is God about this? In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 8, Paul says that if anyone accepts a different gospel than one that we've originally preached, the gospel of the gospel, let him be eternally condemned. Galatians 1, verse 6. And then verse 9, he says the same thing. He says, listen, if you guys didn't get what I was saying here, let me just say it again. And he says, if anyone preaches a different gospel and you accept it and you listen to that and you follow a different doctrine than what Jesus instituted in the gospels and through the epistles, let him be eternally condemned. Strong words. So there needs to be great clarity on doctrine. So the five essentials in helping people move from ourselves, first of all, and then we can only pay for what we ourselves have learned and become. From darkness to light. Far away from God to the foot of the cross, experiencing God's love. It's humility, faith, lordship, repentance, and a clear understanding of biblical doctrine. So, how do we try and do it? To incorporate those different things in these different Bible studies. So what we want to aim at is doing these eight Bible studies before baptism to help people have a clear understanding of those different things. The word study, we know it, but we're going to look at it a bit differently. I'm going to be teaching a study soon on Jesus and who Jesus is, and I'll explain why when we do it. Discipleship, sin and repentance, the cross, light and darkness, a church study, and a lordship study. And each of those five things, the five essentials, somehow falls into these Bible studies. These Bible studies are a means to an end. They're not the end in itself. So can I change them around? Can I first do the Jesus study and then the word study? You need to do whatever works. So you need to figure out what works for your friend. Now, my experience of the last 20 years is sort of sticking to the plain and simple tends to work. Are there some isolated situations where it works differently? Absolutely. But I sort of just stick to the same old. And it's been very helpful, and people have become Christians. After that, we're creating a new set of follow-up studies, which would then be the kingdom, false doctrine, the Holy Spirit, and feelings and false prophets. The kingdom study is actually going to be developed to 2 or 3 Bible studies. It's a much broader topic than I think we have previously given it credit to. The Holy Spirit study is going to also evolve to 3 Bible studies. So we are developing a follow-up study to be able to help teach people the essentials. But the question is, what is it that I need before I can say Jesus Lord? Do I need to have a full understanding of the kingdom? Do I need to have a full understanding of the Holy Spirit? Well, if you feel you need to, then we'll do those Bible studies with you beforehand. But the aim is humility, faith, repentance, lordship, and a clear understanding of the gospel, the doctrine of the Bible. So, those are the Bible studies. And again, we're looking for input, and we'll make it available on email. You can just email input, and if you don't have email, we'll maybe have a suggestion box or something. You can just throw your input in readable handwriting, please. What are some important convictions when we do the Bible studies? Whoops. We're running out of time here, but let me go through them. Correctly handle the word of truth. Okay, important convictions. So we've not even started studying the Bible with someone yet. This is why this is called an introduction. What are some important convictions that I need to have? One is I need to correctly handle the word of truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, but who correctly handles the word of truth. Okay, we need to make sure that we know how to handle the Bible. Know the convictions that you are trying to teach. Understand the context of the passage. The passage might by itself sound very nice to what it is that you have in your mind, but is it the context for which it was intended? We need to make sure about that. Understand timing and process. In Matthew 10, Jesus said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. You can't just blurt it all out. You can't just say, here's the whole gospel, whether you can handle it or not. Here is every possible truth that you can imagine. Buckle up, baby, and I hope for the best. We need to be wise. Mark 4:33, with many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. So he only gave them as they could understand. The way that I usually try and teach the Bible to people is when we do the word study, I don't answer questions beyond the word study. But how exactly do I get saved? We'll come to that. At this stage, read your Bible. Then when we do discipleship, I don't go beyond it. But is this a sin? We'll get to that. And the reason is when you just lift the whole curtain. Sometimes, I didn't know that was on the other side of the curtain. And people run away. So we've got to be as shrewd as snakes, innocent as doves. Just what is it that they're able to understand? I've recently been in a Bible study with a couple of guys. The vet was in it, Peter and a couple of guys. And the guy just kept on asking questions. I must have told him 10 times. Dude, first just read your Bible. No, but just, read your Bible. Just read your Bible. But what? Read your Bible. But I've got a friend. Read your Bible. What do I tell the friend? I said, guess. He said, tell him to read his Bible. You guys get the point? Read your Bible. Okay. Focus on what matters. Titus 3 verse 9. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Okay. Stay on mission. You can get involved in all kinds of issues that's not necessary. And it's causing all kind of controversies and difficulties. Again, focus on what matters. Focus on the essentials first. And often we think, well, if I just do this, if I just tell him this, he'll get it. If you don't get the basics, you don't get the difficult. Well, if I just do sin and repentance, he's going to understand it that he needs to start reading his Bible. Listen, if you're not willing to make the effort to read your Bible, you certainly ain't going to be repenting of your sin. Okay, so focus on what matters. Again, important convictions. Teach them to obey. This is key. It's about transformation, not information. Transformation, not information. Matthew 28, Jesus said, teach them to obey. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did, not know what Jesus taught, not know what Jesus knew, must walk as Jesus did. Matthew 7 talks a bit around that, about two people building their house on the rock and the sand. You can go and take a look at it for yourself. This, when I have, as I've tried to train different people through the years, this has been the most important thing that I've seen people lack. You inform but not transform. Meaning I've told everyone everything that the scripture says, but the person has not built their own conviction in their heart. So in other words, the question would be, let me give you an example. Hebrews 11, verse 12 and 13 talks about, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating even the dividing soul, joins the spirit, judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Okay, so the Bible is like a sword. It's there to be able to cut things out of our life. Does that sound comfortable? Not at all. Okay, but we all know an example of something like, let's say, something needs to be cut out of you. Cancer needs to be cut out of you. Is it going to be comfortable? No, but it brings healing. Bible works the same way. So, how would you feel about obeying the Bible even when it's uncomfortable? I don't know. Why don't you know? Do you want to think about it a bit? Do we wait a bit? Do we talk next week? But you guys get what I'm saying? You've got to ask. Is this something you want to do? I'm not saying, well, you do it perfectly. Are you willing? Because if the person's not willing, we're at the end of the road. We can't make them. God can't make them. So it is transformation, not information. Someone is further down the Bible study. You spoke about 8 Bible studies. They're already on Bible study number 8, but they're not reading the Bible. How did they get there? Why did you continue with them? You're not trying to inform them, you're trying to transform them. So if they're not even reading their Bible, why do we continue? We need to first get them in the Word that they can build their faith. Transformation, not information. Okay, so teach them to obey. That needs to be an important conviction that we have in the back of our mind as we're thinking, how do I move people from here, darkness, far from God, the foot of the cross, experiencing God's love through us. Third one, train and be trained. You then, my son, 2 Timothy 2, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Can you guys see the connections? Things you've heard me say, Paul to Timothy, and trust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Paul to Timothy, Timothy to others, reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. There's four legs. It's training. We need to have a conviction that for us to be able to win our city and the world, we need to train. Train and be trained. I need to be trained on how to do this, and then I need to train others to do this. So every time that I am reaching out to a friend, I'm going to help them through the scriptures, I'm asking myself, who can I train? So I don't go solo. Who can I train? Who can I include with me in the Bible study that we can help them together? And maybe you're not trained, but then you need to keep your ear on the ground and say, well, who is studying the Bible, and whom can I be trained by? Where can I join? But we need to have a conviction of train and be trained. Solo umbilical cord relationships, I don't even believe is biblical. The Bible is about community. It's about doing it together. I'm not saying you're in sin if you once do it. It's just, who's being trained? We need to enlarge trainees, if you may, disciples that know how to make other disciples. How much have we still got to go here? Some quick helpful hints. Share your life. Because we love you so much, we're delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So helpful hint. As you think of helping people to move, for God to be touched, share your life. I'm going to be brief about this. I'm not even going to read that scripture. Okay, the previous one. Before we get into their home, get them into your home. Okay, they cannot see your life if they're not in your house. I live a good life. There is something nice to see in your house. I'm not talking about the furniture, I'm talking about you. Okay, they need to come and say, wow, I want a marriage like that. I want kids like that. Not perfect kids, not a perfect marriage, but where a couple can have conflict and work it out. Where a family can make mistakes, but they can work through it. They need to see something that they don't have. We need to be a light to the world. So get them into your house. Get them to their home. See what they're up to. Okay, it's become a part of their life. Connect with them. Serve them. Look for ways to love them. And a little extra one in there, throw it in there for free. Invite them. Okay, sometimes I think we wait for the perfect moment. Only when we get to such and such a Bible study, we're going to invite someone. When I study the Bible with someone and they've not been to church before, I say, listen, I'd love to invite you to one of our worship services. It's tremendous. You'll love it. Been there for many years. It's changed my life, and I think it will be great to have you there. Okay, so these are, again, some helpful things in the background of our mind. So where are we trying to go? We're trying to move someone far from God, as we have been ourselves. And again, remember the context. It's one beggar showing the other beggar where the bread is, but it's two beggars. We're all beggars. But trying to move from here to the foot of the cross. Experience God's love through humility, faith, lordship, repentance, a clear understanding of the gospel. For us to be able to have deep convictions of how to handle the word. For us to be able to grow in how we handle the word. And to be able to help them effectively as we love them and serve them. Amen. We can stop the tape. But turn your Bibles to Hebrews